Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to the Roam Around League podcast. I'm your host, former NFL scout, Tyler Roman. Today's episode, I'll take a look at the latest moves by the Washington Commanders. I love the Bobby Wagner signing. I recorded last week, hours before that news broke, so I'm going to talk a little bit about this episode and what he can provide for the team. I also recorded before the Sam Howell trade last week, so I'm going to hit on that as well. I also give a top 10 mock for next month's draft. We're just under 5 weeks away, recording this on that Friday, so we're about 34 days away from the draft. And there's still obviously a lot of uncertainty for the pick at number two for Washington. A lot to get to, so let's get started. All right, obviously starting with Bobby Wagner. Been in the league since 2012, second round pick. Came in the same draft classes, Robert Griffin III, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, that famed quarterback draft class. Bobby is a future Hall of Famer. Last year, he had 183 tackles with 3.5 sacks. He'll be 34 this summer. And, he spent predominantly his career with Seattle every year except one with the Rams back in 2022. He was back with Seattle last year in 2023. I like this move a lot. It's the London Fletcher move. And Washington signed him around the same time in 2007. London was 33, I think, when they signed him, and went to have a good 4 or 5 years with Washington, and really solidified that defense for years to come. And Bobby, I'm not gonna speculate how long he's gonna be here. Obviously, at least in 2024, maybe longer if he still has enough in the tank. But he's definitely a tone setter and a culture setter that Dan wanted, to bring in. Going back to their days together in Seattle. And I absolutely love the move just because I love that it shows that players are starting to want to come here in Washington now that Snyder's gone and there's new ownership with Josh and a new head man in charge, Adam Peters, and a new head coach in Dan Quinn. The players absolutely love Dan. I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about him. This is really just a testament. It was a great hire by Adam Peters. Myself included, a lot of the fans wanted Ben Johnson. I'm glad that didn't happen because I think if Ben Johnson went here, they know that he, or even Mike McDaniel, he wouldn't have been able to put together a staff like Dan has put together. They wouldn't have been able to track players like Dan and Adam Peters have been able to do. So I think it's an absolute perfect coach for the time for Washington right now to hopefully turn this franchise around. And Bobby Wagner is going to provide that leadership this team has been lacking for years. He's not going to let anyone slip, especially on defense. He's going to let it know when something is not the way it's supposed to be. And it's absolutely crucial for this team, especially hopefully a young team going forward with the draft, coming up next month and Washington having as many picks as they do, 6 in the top 100. So, Bobby obviously still can play. He's not as good as he was in coverage as he was, 4 or 5 years ago, but that's, expected being 34 years old. He's still very good against the run. Like I said, he led the league in tackles last year. He's still going to be a, really, really, really good player for Washington. And obviously, he used to stay on the field. He basically, I think, has played 98% of the snaps in his career. So obviously this is going to make you wonder what Jamin Davis's role is, because Frankie Louvu is obviously coming to play. He signed a 3-year, $36 million deal. He's going to be a stud for Washington. They're going to use him in a variety of ways. He's not coming off the field. Bobby might rotate with Jamin on some downs if it comes to that, but I think Jamin's still going to have a really, really prominent role with this team. I think they're going to use him as a pass rusher. I think, his play time is going to go down a little bit, but I think he's still going to be a very, very vital, aspect of what this defense is going to be next year. And I love this. The best three linebackers Washington's had, and I couldn't tell you how long. So, having Bobby and Frankie Louvu as the starters, and then, Jamin coming in, especially if they said in the 4-3 set, which obviously is not going to be a lot because a lot of teams, a lot of times the defense is going to be in a nickel formation. But, Bobby is just only going to make this team even better. And I'm so really excited to see what Jamin Davis does. I doubt they're going to pick up his 5th-year option, but doesn't mean he's not going to be here long-term if he shows out next year and gets an opportunity to revive what he can do for this defense in the future. And, having a guy like Bobby Wagner in the linebacker room and in Frankie Louvu is only going to, make Jamin better and, have him hit that next step in his career. A couple of years ago in the NFL Network's top 100, Jamin Davis was talking to Bobby Wagner and how he's like, the epitome of a linebacker and who he looks up to on defense and as a linebacker. So, you know, I think that's huge. And now Jamin gets, you know, be with him every day and learn from him and hopefully be a sponge, you know, what he can provide for Jamin. They also signed cornerback Michael Davis from the Chargers. He's had a nice career. He has 74 career starts in his career. He's been in the league since 2016. He's 6'2", 196. He's going to be 29. He had 62 tackles and an interception last year. He was benched a little bit last year, but he's a solid depth corner, a good third or fourth corner. I'm glad Washington was able to get a guy like that. Obviously, they still need a starting corner, but it was a good value signing. Anthony Lynn obviously knows him going back to the Charger days. So I think, you know, it was, you know, good depth signing, and, you know, it's better than having, you know, Christian Holmes or a guy like that as your fourth or fifth corner. So I think it was a solid signing. They also signed Noah Igbeneni. I know he's from Dallas. He started his career with Miami. He's kind of been a bust. He was a first-round pick for Miami. He's 24. He's 5'11", 196. Hopefully Dan Quinn can, you know, get that kind of potential that people saw of him coming in the 2020 draft class. Obviously, he played in Dallas last year, but it was mainly on special teams. Miami traded him to Dallas in training camp last year. And again, he just kind of played special teams for Dallas, but, you know, maybe he can carve a role here in Washington as a slot corner. They also signed James Pierre, the corner from Pittsburgh. I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about him. He's going to be 28 September. He did have a good 2021, 47 tackles, 2 career interceptions. But again, he's more of a depth and special team signing. Washington still needs a, you know, starting level corner, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. Hitting on some of the re-signings, they did re-sign Jameson Crowder, which I was surprised about, but I'm happy. I've always been a James Crowder fan going back to his first stand here in Washington. You know, he had a nice game last year against Philly, that second game, and he still can play as a, you know, backup slot or fourth, you know, fifth receiver. So I think it's a good depth signing, nothing wrong with it. And he was a really good punt returner for the most part last year, at least could, you know, get upfield unlike other guys like Dax Milne. So, you know, I'm glad Crowder is back. Doesn't even mean he's guaranteed to make the roster, but obviously he's coming in to give a chance to, you know, do that. They did re-sign F.A. Obata, another good depth edge signing, you know, on defense end, and he can rush on the defensive tackle position as well. He is coming off a broken leg, obviously, that he suffered last year against the Giants. But, you know, Dan Quinn and Peter saw something in him to, you know, bring him back. So another guy that, you know, more than likely is going to make the team. And then Cornelius Lucas, they did re-sign him to a $4 million deal 1 year. As of right now, he's your starting left tackle. Obviously, it's not ideal. He's a good swing tackle, can play left and right in a pinch. You don't really want him as your starter. Very, very good backup tackle. But, you know, if push comes to shove and he has to play, it's not a bad, you know, there could be worse options than Lucas. So, again, I'm not trying to, you know, bash guys. I do like Lucas. This is a really, really good solid backup. But, you know, obviously, hopefully they bring in another starter. And then finally, the Sam Howell trade. You know, Sam obviously had his ups and downs last year. There was times in the podcast where I was like, you know, that he can definitely, you know, show that he's the guy. And he obviously had those moments, you know, and I think this team and Bieniemy failed him a lot, you know, having him throw 62% of the time. They needed to have a run game for him. They needed to protect him better. I think he developed bad habits as he continued to get hit, which is only natural. He was trying to protect himself. He was getting happy feet, making poor decisions. He had 21 touchdowns last year and at one point was leading the league in passing yards. Did finish with, you know, league leading 21 interceptions. But, you know, Sam's a guy that I really think could be, you know, average start in the NFL, maybe a little above, you know, kind of like an Andy Dalton type of player. Maybe it could have been here in an alternate universe with, you know, better offensive line, a better play caller, but it just didn't work out that way. And, you know, if they realized very quickly he wasn't the guy, I don't mind them moving on with him. Moving on from him, obviously, their Mariota signing kind of, you know, had the writing on the wall. That's probably the way they were going. I didn't think it was going to happen that quickly, but, you know, they did, you know, got some value for him moving up from the fourth to the third round and then the sixth to the fifth. So now they have six picks in the top 100. So it was a good value trade. I think Seattle, you know, made out, you know, well to get him. He's going to be Geno's backup next year, and maybe he's a starter for them in 2025 if Geno takes a step back. So obviously they really liked him. He had a really good game against Seattle last year, so I'm sure they were impressed with him, you know, firsthand. But, you know, I know a lot of people loved Hal. I know people were sad about it, but, you know, obviously, this team was picking a quarterback at number two, and this only, you know, made that more clear with this trade. But, again, I like Sam. He showed a toughness. He showed a grit. Does have a really good arm. His decision-making, you know, could be inconsistent, but that's to be expected of a 23-year-old second-year quarterback. So, again, he definitely had some bright spots last year. But, you know, he needed to really show out and leave no doubt in the mind of the evaluators that he was the starting quarterback if he was going to keep that job, you know, being a fifth-round pick. So, either way, Sam Howell's going to be in this league for a long time. Even if he's a career backup, he can be in the league 10 years. So, you know, hopefully he does well in Seattle. except when he's playing Washington. But, you know, I was happy that Washington was able to get pretty good value for him. All right, guys that are going to be still available. Stephon Gilmore, the former Dallas corner, you know, is obviously a little older, but still a really, really good player last year in Dallas. Washington could use a guy like him, you know, to come in and mentor, and then Emmanuel Forbes and even Benjamin St. Juice. I think that's someone to still keep an eye on. I think Bobby Wagner coming here, even in his Schwalbe's career, kind of shows that maybe a guy like Gilmore would come here. Justin Simmons, the Denver Broncos safety. He's actually from Manassas. He went to Boston College. He still was very good safety. He's 30 years old. And Washington doesn't maybe need a safety anymore since they signed Jeremy Chinn. And they, you know, I still have Percy Butler, who I don't think is going to start anymore. But, you know, they still have Derek Forrest and Quan Martin. But maybe Quan's going to play in the slot. Maybe you put Quan in the slot, and then you have Derek Forrest, Jeremy Chinn, and Justin Simmons as your three rotational safeties. Donovan Smith, the former Buccaneer and Kansas City Chiefs left tackle, isn't as good as he used to be, but he's better than Washington has. Maybe they come and bring him in for a one-year stopgap situation. Andrus Peat from the Saints, he played a little left tackle last year, but he's more of a guard. He's available. And Connor Williams, the former Dallas Cowboy, but he was with Miami last couple of years. He can play center and guard. You know, Washington is kind of solidified in that position, but again, the Dallas connection is still there. And he's still a very, you know, solid player, but he is coming off a torn ACL. But maybe they come in and, you know, sign him to be a left guard if they don't think Allegretti's, you know, up from the challenge after the signing from Kansas City. So those are just some guys that come, you know, to the top of my head that I can help Washington, even in the second or third wave of free agency, you know, someone that they can, you know, still contribute to this team. Obviously, the guys they lost, you know, Casey Tuula for the Bills, you know, obviously a nice rotational edge defender for Buffalo. Curtis Samuel, I think, is going to do really well, also going to the Bills. I'm excited for him there. He's going to be a number two receiver for Josh Allen going in with Stephon Diggs. And, you know, I think he's going to, you know, thrive in that role. He's kind of replacing Gabe Davis. He's still only 27 years old. He'll do well in Buffalo. Kendall Fuller had a two-year deal with Miami. I'm happy for him as well. You know, going into a situation where he's going to start opposite of Jalen Ramsey. Still a really good player. I know he's 29, and, you know, he's had knee problems going back to when he was coming out of the draft from Virginia Tech, why he dropped to the third round. So people keep saying that that's a problem. But, you know, he's been able to stay healthy for the most part, and, you know, maybe, even if he plays another 3 or 4 years, he still had a really nice, long NFL career. And then Cam Curl going to the Rams. Crazy they only got, you know, 4.5 per year for base. Obviously, Washington was just looking to go in a different direction. I've always liked Cam. He never was able to become a superstar. I don't know if he has that ability, but he just never had that playmaking, you know, ball hawking ability that kind of, you know, gets safeties paid. But he's always a really, really good, solid player. I could play any position for you, you know, linebacker, slot, safety. Just very versatile, very, very smart player. And obviously, I would have liked to see Washington re-sign him in, you know, if, you know, it was a different regime still. But, you know, I think Jeremy Chinn's going to do a really nice role, and obviously I hope Cam does well in L.A. All right, now doing some of my top 10 mock draft. Eventually, I will do a full first-round one, but I just kind of wanted to hit on that after I've already talked about Washington's free agency moves. Obviously, number one, you have Chicago taking Caleb Williams. That was pretty much solidified after they traded Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. You know, much like, you know, 99% of the Washington fan base, I would love to have Caleb Williams. Obviously, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen considering Chicago has the first pick. Why would they move off a guy that people have compared to Mahomes? Excuse me, his talent is amazing. He's a guy that I've, you know, really, really, everyone is, you know, fond over and could have been a really good prospect. You know, his 2022 season, when he won the Heisman, he had over 4,500 yards passing, 42 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. And last year, he had 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. 6'1", 214, he'll be 23 in November. But, you know, he's the franchise quarterback for Chicago, and he's going into a great, great spot in Chicago to succeed from day one. All right, obviously moving to Washington's pick at number two. I mean, I really don't know where they're going at all. I think it's obviously going to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels. There was a video report last night where Albert Breer said, you know, he's heard that, you know, Washington might be leading towards Jaden Daniels. And obviously, you know, Albert Breer is a really respected NFL reporter. But I just, you know, this team has kept everything so close to the, you know, the vest. I don't really know what is true and what isn't. And we still, again, have 5 weeks. So I'm probably going to flip-flop on this 5 times. But I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels here. Just one thing that, you know, stuck out to me was, you know, when they asked, I think it was like an interview on the Junkies, Dan Quinn was saying that, you know, they had like a word association game thing where, you know, they asked him about, I think, Terry McLaurin and a couple other guys. But, you know, Jaden Daniels was one of them, and he said game changer. And I think, you know, that was obviously the first thing that came to his head. you know, defensive guys, coordinators hate going against mobile quarterbacks. I think, you know, if it was up to Quinn, solely up to Quinn, I think he probably would go with Daniels. So I'm just going to go with that pick. You know, last year he had 3,812 passing yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He had 1,134 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. He's 6'4", 210. He will be 24 in December, which obviously is not old, but he is a little older as a prospect just because he did play 5 years of college football, 3 years at Arizona State, 2 at LSU. I don't really get the argument of people saying, you know, he only conceded this year at LSU because of Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, and they had one good year. Obviously, those guys are first-round picks. They're great receivers, but very reminiscent of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow didn't really break out until his fifth year, also at LSU, when he had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. So, you know, yeah, Daniels did the same thing, and Burrow's a franchise NFL quarterback, and, you know, hopefully Daniels could be the same, especially if Washington picks him. At 3, I'm going to take Drake May. Drake May had a much better 2022 when he had over 4,300 yards passing, 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He had 698 yards rushing that year as well. He's 6'4", 223, very, very, you know, reminiscent of Justin Herbert. He will be 22 in August. This past year, when he lost some talent at NC, he had 3,600 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 450 yards rushing. You know, you could also read into the Washington trading Sam Howell. Sam Howell and Drake May obviously are really close, best friends apparently. That could have been awkward, so maybe they could be leaning into Drake May because of that. But again, people are going to look into everything. I have no idea. I'm just going to say Jaden Daniels to Washington 2, Drake May at 3 to New England. Number 4, I have Minnesota coming up to 4 with Arizona's pick to get J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy is a super young prospect. He just turned 21 in January. He's had very similar 2022 and 2023 seasons. He had 22 touchdowns in 23, 22 and 24, 4 interceptions in 23, 5 and 22, and been around a little below 3,000 yards passing in both years. He's very mobile. You know, I heard someone compare him to Alex Smith, which I, you know, after watching him more, I really, really see that. He's very reminiscent of Alex. I think McCarthy can be a pretty good, solid quarterback. I don't ever think his potential is going to be top 5, top 10, but he could definitely be a solid type of quarterback, like an Alex Smith, I think, if he hits his potential. So I think he could fit well in a Kevin O'Connell system, and he'd be set up for success, you know, having Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson to throw to, and even Aaron Jones next year as Minnesota signed him in free agency. So I have Minnesota coming up to get him at number 4. At 5, the Chargers are elated to have the best receiver in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years come out, maybe outside of Jamar Chase, and Marvin Harrison Jr. I know people are making, you know, kind of statements about him not participating in the combine or the pro day, but apparently he talked to like top 9 teams and they all said, "We don't need to see anything from you." So I think it just kind of shows you that everyone is very comfortable with Marvin Harrison Jr. as a prospect, and they don't really care if he works out. So he had over 1,200 yards pass receiving last year, 14 touchdowns, 6'4", 205. He'd be Justin Herbert's number one target from day one. At 6, I have the Giants taking Malik Nabers from LSU. I hope it doesn't happen because I think Nabers is a beast. He's 6'2", 200. He has 1,569 yards receiving last year, 14 touchdowns. He would be the Giants' number one receiver from day one. They need receivers badly. A lot of people think that they like McCarthy at quarterback too, so maybe they trade up to get him. If, you know, I think McCarthy's probably going top 5 just the way it goes with quarterbacks. And the Giants obviously could look for someone to replace Daniel Jones. I prefer them to have McCarthy than Malik Nabers, if I'm being honest. 7 of the Titans taking tackle Joe Alt from Notre Dame. He's 6'8", 315. He'll be a starter from day one for there. They had Andre Diller there last year, the former Philadelphia Eagle. He did not work out in Tennessee. They already cut him. And Alt can be their left tackle for Will Levis going forward. At 8, the Falcons taking edge rusher Jared Verse from Florida State. He had 18 sacks over the last 2 years. Atlanta badly needs a defensive end. Obviously, they signed Kirk in free agency. They signed Darnell Mooney from Chicago and got Rondell Moore from Arizona in the Desmond Ridder trade. So I think they stacked up a receiver. So I don't think they go receiver here. They get another edge rusher, edge rusher to help that defense, and Raheem Morris in his first year head coach in Atlanta. At 9, the Chicago back on the clock. They can go receiver here since they did. I know they traded for Keenan Allen, but obviously he's a little older. They get another receiver to help Caleb, but I have him going with edge rusher Dallas Turner from Alabama. He had 10 sacks last year, 22.5 in his 3-year career in Alabama. He would, you know, fit perfectly on the opposite side of Montez Sweat. And then 10, I have the Jets taking wide receiver Rome Odunze from Washington. I think Odunze goes higher than this, and just for the sake of this mock, the Jets obviously did just sign Mike Williams, but he's obviously injury prone and only has is only on a 1-year deal. So that does not preclude them from taking a guy like Odunze, who could pair with Garrett Wilson to be, you know, one of the top receiver duos in the league. But with that concludes the Rumor on League episode. The Commanders have had one of the best offseasons in the league. They improved the team tremendously, but still have a long way to go. I really do like Jaden Daniels and Drake May, and I have no idea how this team will proceed, 5 weeks from now. Either way, I trust a new group and fans should rally around whoever the next guy is at number two. You can follow me on Twitter at NFLScout21 and Instagram at RumorOnLeague_pod. Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe. This is your host, Tyler Roman, signing off. See you next time.